Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
For no man can
Actually, when we think about it,
you made a way, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank the Lord Jesus because he made a way when our backs was against the walls. He made a way. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. We honor you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to take care of that emergency we had this morning from one of our customers. And we are back here, and we are able to put on the word on. We are not looking for anyone. We don't expect anyone to be here. We have the Holy Spirit. That's all that matters. The Holy Spirit. You remember back in 2010, when the Lord gave us this ministry to watch over, that it was just Evangelist Darlene Campbell and I. And we did it. So we are trusting the Lord and depending on the Lord that we'll be able to go out, work, come home, and put this ministry on so that we can send it out to the world. And the world will have access to a word and uncompromising, infallible word of God, the truth, no compromising. So this morning we're going to talk about it takes boldness and commitment to change. Boldness and commitment to change. In the book of Acts chapter 2, we usually use a verse from here in the Holy Communion and for the baptism, but we're going to do a couple of verses here for where we talk about this boldness to change. And when you make a decision that you're going to walk for God, walk for God, or live for God, live your life to please God, it's going to take boldness, because it means you have to repent, you have to get baptized, you have to give your life completely to God. And sometimes, most of the times, you have to separate yourself from some people, you know. So we want to go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 to 41. And he says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit. It's the same. A lot of times it's hard because we want to give our life completely over to God, but we sometimes are watching our friends, our family members, our co-workers, the people that are even at the service. You're wondering what they're going to say when you decide to follow Jesus. If you can afford to lose your friends, if your friends are going to talk to you, and so on. But like I said, it takes boldness to change. You have to make up in your mind that this is what you're going to do. I am going to give my life to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's all that it takes. That's what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. You're not living. You're no longer living for people. You're not living to please people. You're not giving your life to Christ because you're looking that if you become a believer, that you're going to get all of this stuff, all of the cars, the house, all this stuff. No, you're not giving that. You're giving because you want to be with him. You want to be in glory with him. Hallelujah. In paradise with him when he comes. You want to go back with him. You want to be in the new Jerusalem with him. That's why you're giving your life over. You're turning over a new leaf. You're not just saying, I'm saved, I'm sanctified. You just want to say it. But you want to get into a place where you can say without a shadow of doubt that you are living for Christ. Not only saying it, but your life is speaking that this is a born-again believer. Hallelujah. Here, Peter told them that every one of them had to be baptized. But first, what he said to them, what was very profound, is that they had to repent. In other words, they had to turn away from the life that they were living. All the stuff that they were doing that made them feel good, they had to give up. And that is something. When you know that you are getting drunk, you were hanging out with the boys, the girls, and you having a good time, so you think. And now you got to let go of this. No more you can drink. You can't go to ABC liquor store any longer. You can't go down to the crack house, the whole house, any longer. No, you have to give up all this. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision to be bold for the Lord. Jesus went to the cross. He went to Calvary. He didn't say a mumbling word. He had an assignment from the Father to go down and pay the debt that every sinner on this earth owed, debt that no sinner could pay. Doesn't matter how big they are, how small they were, what type of job they had, what neighborhood they were living in, they could not pay that debt. a debt was too costly. It called for pureness, holiness, righteousness. It called for a life that was separated from this world, a life that had no blemishes at all. That's what that debt was. And the only one could pay that debt was Jesus Christ himself. And he decided that he would leave his home in glory and come in time. Come into time so that he could pay a debt that we owed. Now we have to be bold. Hallelujah. We must have the boldness of a lion to stand up and say, yes, I am receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm turning away from all that the world has offered me. I no longer want these things of the world, and I'm going to live for Christ. You have to do that. So here in the book of Acts, Peter told them, Peter called the people to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the promise in the Old Testament. He told them that they had to repent. The Greek word used here, metanoia, denotes a change of mind, will, or actions. Peter calls the people to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the promise in the Old Testament. Repentance, it means that and be baptized, just as circumcision serves as a visible external marker of inclusion in the covenant community of Israel, so baptism serves as the public sign and seal of a person's solidarity with Christ and participation in the new covenant community of faith, which encompasses both Jewish and non-Jewish people. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 36 to 38. Acts, we can come back to Acts chapter 2, but look at Acts chapter 8. Hallelujah. We are talking about it takes boldness to and commitment to change. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 to 38. And here's Peter speaking. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the Enoch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the Enoch, and he baptized him. See, this Enoch was bold. He wanted what he heard Philip was talking about. Philip was talking about Jesus. He explained Jesus from the book of Isaiah to the Enoch. And the Enoch became excited. Hallelujah. He talked to him about Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 and 8. So the Enoch was eager to find out more. He wanted to be baptized. He wanted to experience more of this Jesus that Philip was telling him about. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 9, verses 17 and 18, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appear unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. See, here Ananias took the boldness. He took the boldness to go where Saul was, because Jesus told him where Saul was and that he had to go and lay hands on him so he could receive his sight, because Saul was blinded to this world so that he could receive the spiritual things of the world that Jesus has shown him. Hallelujah. So we're talking about it takes boldness and commitment to change. It is so hard for people to change. We tend to weigh everything that we have, everything we can get from the life that we're living, and we try to hold on to it as long as we could, possibly hold on to it, because we don't want to let go. Hallelujah. We want to change, but we don't want to let go of the things that are holding us in bondage. We don't think it's bondage because we're having a good time, or so we think. But it takes boldness to get up out the crack house and tell them, you know, I'm not going to get high anymore. To say, I'm not going to the clubs anymore. I'm not drinking alcohol anymore. It takes boldness to say, well, look, I am not shacking up with another man but my husband. I'm not shacking up with another woman but my wife. It takes boldness and then to walk it out. You know, you might say it with your mouth, but then it takes boldness to walk it out, to live it out. Even to say that you're going to live for Christ when you've been living a sinful life all your life, it takes boldness, because people, you have friends that are looking. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 48 and 47. Acts chapter 10, verse 47 and 48. He said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then pray him to tarry certain days. See that when you operate in the Spirit of God, you'll have the boldness to do what God has called you to do. Hallelujah. Well, where we are, all of us, are operating in this boldness. Peter spoke with boldness. And, you know, it had to be took real boldness, because he was dealing with some Jews that they only had one mindset. But God had already showed him that he was grafting in the Gentiles. And Peter was saying that, well, no, I don't deal with that kind of stuff. God showed him a picture. He saw the four-corner sheep coming down from heaven with every four-footed and creeping thing in there. And Peter called it unclean. And it was just a metaphor or an allusion of the Gentiles to the Jews. And then he got the clear understanding. You got to go to the Gentiles and you got to take what I give you to them. You know, you got a great division in the church today. Great separation. On Sunday morning, all of us are saved. All of us say we are saved and sanctified. We are filled with the Holy Ghost and we are fire baptized. We speak in tongues. We all say that. And we take the boldness to say, we boast about it, how filled we are, how we speak in tongues, how anointed we are. But let some other culture come into the church building. Latinos, Asians, Caucasians coming. And everybody, the church becomes still now. instead of greeting those people and welcoming them in the house of the Lord, we start to check them out from their toe up. We're checking them out to see how they look, what they dress, how they, all this stuff is going on. We don't receive them as brothers and sisters. Everything goes on. Same thing if you go over to a Caucasian church and you are African American. You may be the only one enter through that door. Instead of them, we greet you and welcome you as, if not a child of God, someone who is seeking God. They would wonder why you come to that house. Why, in the other black churches down the street you can go to, all this stuff go through them. Because they don't have the boldness to truly stand for Christ. When you have the boldness, you accept what Christ accepts because he accepts all mankind. He went to the cross. We gave you that earlier in the text. He went to the cross for all mankind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to be ready, prepared, ready to stand for righteousness. Because this is a time. We are in a time right now. I'm telling you that they're talking about this AI. Oh, God. This AI stuff that they're talking about is serious. It's not a plaything. It's not a plaything. I'm telling you something. It's not a plaything. And a lot of folk are skipping through the tulips. They're skipping through the tulips playing church. This is serious time. And if you're not ready, I'm telling you, you're going to get left behind. We're going to get left behind. Here in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 39, he says, for the promises is for you and for your children and for all those who are far away, as many as the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly urged and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this crooked generation. So those who accepted his message were baptized on that day. About 3,000 souls were added. Peter had a kind of boldness that you have not seen with anyone else. You know, he had boldness when he was walking, when Christ was teaching them, when he called them and he was teaching them. Peter was the first. He's always the first to do something. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane when they're coming there to arrest Jesus. Peter snatched the sword out of his sheath and cut off the man's ear. Jesus took it up and put it back on. He said, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. If anything was going on, Peter would be the first one to move. In the name of Jesus Christ, baptism identifies a person with Jesus in his life, death, burial and resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. God does not overlook or ignore sin, but graciously frees those who belong to Jesus from his condemnation and power. You see, God is not passing over your sin or my sin. Hallelujah. But He graciously frees us from the condemnation and the power that sin had over us. Do you understand? Because, you know, the moment you begin to walk in this thing, look at Romans chapter 6. You begin to walk in this thing. People begin to say, oh, well, how can he be saved? How she can be saved? She was doing this and she was doing that for Christ. No, you've done all this stuff. We've done all this stuff. But his blood washes us and cleanses us, the Bible says, from all, not some, all unrighteousness. Romans 6, 3 and 4. It says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. See, because there's a new thing that happened in us. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3 and 6. Let's go see this stuff. Follow these scriptures. Acts chapter 3 and 6. Glory to God. You got to have boldness to walk away from this stuff, because this stuff is coming at you so powerful, and it looks so good. You have to have the boldness to say, I'm finished with this stuff. I am finished. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, seven and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This is boldness. Boldness to speak, boldness to act. Hallelujah. Not only did Peter speak the word over this lame, crippled, paralyzed man, but he reached out and took his hand. And the Bible said this man began to receive strength in his ankle bone, hip bone, neck bone, everywhere in his body. He began to, you could see power flowing through the man. He gets, and his ankle bones begin to get powerful strength. He was able to stand up. I was looking at this show last night. Not last night, night before, because we went and took our, went and picked up some stuff from college yesterday from my granddaughter. But I think it was Saturday, Friday or Saturday, and watching the 600-pound people on the TV where to go to this doctor in Texas to get special surgery, some bypass surgery to lose weight. And this woman was so big. She had beautiful kids, but she was so big. And the doctor said, unless you can stand on your 2 feet, I will not be able to do this surgery for you. He said, first, you have to lose 50 pounds. She's laying on her back. And the son and daughter were coming. They had these rubber bands, and she would pull the rubber bands and do like she was doing, working on one of these eucalyptus machine, the way I call it. And she lost 50 pounds, 50 or 55 pounds, lose it. But her dad had to change her diet. She went from eating all of this fast food to eating a lot of greens and vegetables and stuff. And she lost about 55 pounds. But she now had to stand on her 2 feet. And with all that weight, she haven't walked in so many years. She actually defecated in the bed. And the kids would have to clean her up. You hear what I'm saying? But she made a determination that she was going to get out of that bed, that she was going to get, she was going to have that surgery, that she was going to stand on her 2 feet. And the first time they tried for her to stand on her feet, she couldn't get up off the wheelchair. And she said, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. They had to take her back to the bed. And the doctor told her, you got to get the boldness. You got to get the boldness, and you have to stand on your feet at least for 1 minute. And the second time she didn't. But the third time, she said, I got to do this. She told them, there's two people holding her arms, and somebody got a strap around her waist. And when she come up, she get up out the wheelchair the third time. She got this bars, you know, that you can walk through this little, like a little car door, you know, this stair climber thing. But it had bars on both sides. And she stand up. And there was, she told him, let go, let go, let me go. I got to stand on my feet. She had the boldness because she wanted that surgery. She wanted to be able to play with her kids again. She wanted to be able to get out of her bed and do things with her kids in the backyard. And I lay there watching her. And as I was listening to her and the doctor talk on the TV, I was saying to myself, this is the kind of boldness that we as Christians need to have. We need to have the boldness to declare that Jesus is Lord. In spite of what people say to us, do to us, even if we lose our lives. But we're afraid to talk because we're afraid to offend somebody. Because when you say Jesus, they say you don't like them. If you put on a shirt that says you're saved, they want to hit you. They want to fight with you. A little boy got kicked out of school somewhere down south. He got kicked out of school because he had a shirt that says that there's only two genders, male and female. And they kicked him out of school. Tell me how to go home. He can stay in the school with that shirt. Other people have shirts that has the transgender flag and all that stuff. Same-sex marriage and all this kind of stuff on the shirt. But they're allowed to be in the schools. We have to stand up. And we have to be willing to speak for the Lord. We have to be his mouthpiece. Here in this book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Before his ascension, Jesus promised to send the Spirit to dwell in those who belong to him, enabling them to trust and follow him as their Savior. Acts 1 and 5, Acts 1 and 8. For your children, Peter could be referring to the implacability of the gospel message to the immediate members of a person's household, Acts chapter 16, 15 and 33, or more generally to the message of salvation reaching generations to come, the descendants of the people present. Those who are far away, this could be a reference to Jews who live in distant lands, but more likely it's a reference to the nations who would hear the gospel throughout the whole earth, Acts 1 and 8. Isaiah 57 and verse 19, Acts 22 and 21. The crooked generation refer to all people, both Jewish and non-Jewish people, who reject Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 and 15, Luke chapter 9 and 41, Luke chapter 11 and 29. In the Old Testament, the phrase describes the people of Israel who rebel against God in the wilderness, Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 5. In verse 41, so those who accepted his message were baptized, and in that day about 3,000 souls were added. 3,000 souls. The church enjoys amazing growth as a result of Peter's first Pentecost sermon, a testimony to the truth of the good news of Jesus and the power of his Spirit. Now we have to be ready at all times. See, because when we preach and teach the gospel, the infallible truth of God, people are going to be changed. Because the word does what the word does. Only what the word can do. Okay, this is what the word does. The Bible is one of change from generation. The Bible story is one of change from Genesis, the book of beginnings, to Revelation, where God says, behold, I make all things new. Whatever your situation today, change is possible through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Making him your Lord, change is available to you. However often you have repented, confessed it, and tried changing, God can change what you can't and make it last. But change requires understanding certain principles. You don't need to change others in order to change your life. I'll be happier if he stopped. This is what a lot of people say. You hear women say, well, I'd do better if he was doing better. No, your change is not contingency on your husband changing. Your change is not contingency on your wife making change or your son or daughter. Your change is contingency of you looking to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Trust in him for change. We say change people. So in order for me to see, my son is doing so well. I tell you, I'm so excited about how God is using this young man. You know, he gets the message from Blog Talk every day. Every day we come on. Even if I don't go on, I pull up something and send it to him. You know, it's important, but not so much the word. What he see, how he see that I am living is what makes a difference. It's what makes a difference. See, you can tell people a whole lot of stuff, but you show them. You do better by showing them. Say, I tell you, I can give you a fish every day, but if I teach you how to fish, you can, you'll eat for a day if I give you fish. But if I teach you how to fish, you can eat for a lifetime. See, so I teach him about this stuff by my lifestyle. By my lifestyle. We want to change people and see people change, but we're not living a changed life. And God is calling us to live a changed life. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5. And the one seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, because these words are faithful and true. See, God said to John, to the angel, say, who's speaking to John? And the angel is saying to John, write these things, because these are faithful and true. Hallelujah, glory to God. So what God is saying to us through his word from Genesis to Revelation, they are faithful and true. From Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, these words are still saying the same thing. They haven't changed. The problem is that we don't trust them enough to want to live them. We'll speak them. But when it comes to living the word of God, we don't live them. Hallelujah. God can change what you can't understand. What you have tried all your life to change and couldn't change, not your doctors, not your pastor, not your husband, not your wife, not your children, not your neighbor couldn't change, God can change in a snap of a finger. We don't have to depend on seeing others change. Things won't improve for me until she starts acting different. I'm not going to be able to do what I want to do. No, you have to work on you first. You're trying to focus on her, focus on him, and you're falling apart. And God is saying that we got to work on ourselves first. We want to be changed. Spend some time with the one who can change you. It's just like if when I was going to school, I want to learn the trade that I learned. I went over and did a job, emergency call this morning. And I told her in charge of nothing. She had a leak. Well, a leak, I went to fix it. Because she's one of my customers. And I was in there, boom, and gone. 10 minutes. Come back home. I had to go to school and watch. Listen. In my trade. Take notes and practice the notes. Even when the head faucets that we were learning how to take faucets apart. And there was electric water heaters. Now we got more electric water heaters now because the government wants to turn everything electric. A lot of electric water heaters, electric furnaces and all that stuff. We would have to learn how to check the amperage and continuity on the heating elements and resistors and all that stuff, and the circuit boards. We have to test the circuit boards and figure how to figure out when one is good and when one is failing or bad. You have to go through all the tests and work it out. It's the same way with the gospel. If we don't practice this thing, it's not going to work for us. Change is not going to take place. But the things won't happen unless my wife starts doing stuff. Such beliefs make you fool. Focus on the problem and not on the solution. Ignore realistic options and feed depressions. Make a careful exploration of who you are. Check out yourself. Let us look at our own self first. Let us examine ourselves. Let us take inventory of our own life, on our own moves, our own motives. Hallelujah. Check out yourself. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Galatians chapter 6. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in others. For every man shall bear his own burden. Hear what Paul is saying right here. Every man will bear his own burden or his load. We are trained to fix everybody. Guarantee you. Because if they get fixed, we'll get fixed. No, it's on you. Instead of trying to change others, which only produces resistance and resentment, let God show you what you need to do differently to improve your handling of the problems. When you stop doing what doesn't work and change your reaction to the problem, others often change spontaneously. You see, when we start doing things different, our life begins to change, and people connected to us begin to change. Hallelujah. Why are people are constantly walking away from churches? Is all churches bad? No. If you go to six churches, and all six churches you have to leave because you find a problem there, maybe it's time you start looking at yourself. This is why some folk can't go to churches. They can't go. Because all they see in the church is a problem. They never look at themselves. True change begins by addressing your relationship with God. This is where change begins, true change. See, when I address my relationship with God, I begin to look in the Word, and I look at what God is expecting of me or of us. That's what we should be doing. We ought to be looking at the Word and see what God, his expectation of us. Are we meeting up to the expectation of God for our lives? God has an expectation of us. He expects us to do certain things, to live a certain way, be a certain way, treat people a certain way. Are we doing it? He expects us to forgive people. Are we doing it? Or we run off with an attitude. I can't be with him. I can't be with her. No. I'm not doing that anymore. Here. Bitterness and frustration over problems just results in distancing from God, leaving you to handle the issue in your own strength. Surrendering to him changes you fundamentally. Changing pride, envy, resentment, fear, dishonesty, etc. All these things is in the Word. I just got the sermon that I read already in my computer. Let me read this again. The true change begins by addressing your relationship. Oh, let's put it myself in there. True change begins by addressing our relationship with God. Bitterness and frustration over problems just result in distancing from God, leaving us to handle the issue in our own strength. This is what we do. We get bitter because of some action of some person, and we run away and think, but because that we leave the church, I don't have to see her, I don't have to see him, I don't have to deal with them anymore, because I'm this and I'm that. Guess what God is saying? God says that when you run away, when we run away, we are running away with bitterness, frustration over problems, just resulting in distancing from God, from him, leaving us to handle the issue in our own strength. Surrendering to him changes us fundamentally. Changing pride, envy, resentment, fear, dishonesty, etc. All this stuff does it when we surrender to God. We don't have to deal with this stuff anymore. Because when you run away, when we leave the church because pastor says something, the usher said something. The usher, the gatekeeper, then smiled with me, then shake my hand when I into the house of the Lord. Then took me to this pew and sit me down. Then welcomed me when I come to the door. See, what happened though, I developed resentment for that usher. I don't have no care for her, for him. So now I'm left with this thing. The characteristics of poor change management, let's take a good look at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God's plan. We have to go back to God's plan. Let me go to the scripture here quick. Lamentation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 40. We are talking today about it takes boldness and commitment to change. Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 40. This language shifts to involve the rest of the community or the church in this lament, confessing their sin and seeking forgiveness and renewal from God. The introspective confession in Lamentation chapter 3, 40 and 42 acts almost like a response to the teaching in verse 25 to 39. Listen what he says in 40. Let us test and examine our ways. Let us return to Yahweh. 41 says, let us lift up our hearts with our hands to God in the heavens. We ourselves have transgressed and rebelled. You have not forgiven. Listen to this. We have to look at our own selves. We are blaming the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the prophetess, the evangelist, the teacher. We are blaming them, and we are running off with malice and anger, frustration, resentment for the man of God, resentment for the woman of God. It's all in our heart. The prophet said you got to come back to God. First, he says that we got to examine our ways. This is what the prophet said. He said, let us test and examine our ways, then let us return to Yahweh, to God. You got your own ministry. You say, I got my own ministry. I don't need to go to nobody's church. I can pray from my house. I can pray in my bathtub. I can do all this stuff. We have all this stuff, we say. God said, we got to come together. Listen. With our lives under God, we are more honest, self-aware, able to perceive realistically. We are respectful and prepared to become God's change agents. Hallelujah. See, when our lives are under God's control or under God's order, under God's direction, see, we now are able, hallelujah, to proceed realistically. We are respectful. See, when your life is under God, you respect the pastor. You respect the prophet. You respect the apostle, the evangelist, the teacher. You know why? Because you're not looking at them through your own eyes. No, you're looking at them through God's eyes. Spirit, you're looking at them through the Spirit. So now you have respect for the man of God. And you know that the man of God, even though he's a man of God, she is a woman of God, the woman of God. She's still flesh and blood. She's still flesh and blood. So they're both subject. We are all subject to make mistakes. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been preaching, how long you've been singing in the choir or the praise team, how long you say you've been baptized and you've been walking for God. You're still subject to make mistakes because that's flesh. Paul said in his flesh dwells no good thing. He said, every time I want to do good, evil is always present. limited. He said, when I want to do good, I end up doing wrong. Paul said so, the great apostle Paul. Everybody preach about him. But here in this sermon I'm giving you here, talking about, it takes boldness and commitment to change. Now, you know how, if you have an addiction, and you would tell people all the time, you say, man, I ain't drinking no more of that corn liquor. I'm telling you the truth, I ain't drinking no more. You know why? Because you don't have any money to go down to that house that they got that corn liquor. You know you can't go to the store and buy that. You ain't got the money to go down to Johnny's house to buy some corn liquor. But as soon as you get whatever the corn liquor costs in your pocket, you're going to be there. I know that because I experienced that for my own self. I was never going to get high because I was broke. But as soon as I got a job and I made some money, I was off. We call it off to the races again. And we would say, the car took me there. The car can't go nowhere. You don't drive it. You end up at the liquor store. You end up at the dope man. It takes boldness. Boldness to stand for Christ. Especially in the time and season that we're living in right now. You got to be bold. You have to be bold to stand up and say you're a Christian, that you're a believer in Christ Jesus. Because guess what? They want to kill you. Just for saying that you are a Christian, that you're born again. They're saying that you don't like them. We just had thousands of, just last weekend, we had thousands of Satanists in this state. Yeah? The governor and the mayor said they wasn't going to stay in the state. They went on a vacation because they wouldn't participate in that. But they allowed them people to come in this year. As soon as you want to have something put on Christian, some Christian crusade in here, you got to go through so much red tape to get permits and all that kind of stuff. Then people come in here, they come in from Salem, Massachusetts, and they brought people from all over the world that worshiping Satan. All the Satan agents was here in Massachusetts the other day. As many that could fit in that building. Thousands. They had one lady on TV. I don't know if you all seen her. She was one of the promoters of the convocation, Satan convocation, what they call it. And she was ripping the leaves of the Bible, the King James Bible, and throwing them on the ground. And the people were just applauding her. I wouldn't be surprised if I hear she's dead somewhere in some apartment or some condominium where she's at. But I pray that God would touch her, that he would touch her and convict her, let her see Jesus in the spirit and drive her to her knees. But they had so many warlocks here in Boston, Massachusetts, just a few days ago. Hallelujah. Listen. Lamentation, the prophet said, let us test and examine our ways. Let us return to Yahweh, to God. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands to God in the heavens. We ourselves have transgressed and rebelled. You have not forgiven. A lot of us are carrying a lot of unforgiveness in our hearts. You dislike the pastor because the pastor say this or say that. You can't stand the evangelist because the evangelist is never there for you when you want. You can't stand the deacon because the deacon is. All this stuff you have in your heart carrying a lot of whole bunch of malice inside you. And we read here, this is the characteristics of poor management. Because we have this jealousy, this bitterness, all of this stuff we have inside of our hearts, but we say we love the Lord so much. It said with our lives under God, we are more honest, self-aware, able to perceive realistically. We are respectful and prepared to become God's change agent. See, the key is that we want to get to a place that God can use us to change other people. Our lifestyle, the way we live, the way we treat, the way we talk to people. I was just on a lady that I just put in some filters in the house, and like one of the filters, the newest filter I just put in last week. And I didn't even look at the box. It said it only can handle temperature to 113 degrees. Well, we're running 120 degrees Fahrenheit on the water heater. Well, the plastic wasn't thick enough to carry that. We got other plastic filters in there. It takes all the sediments of the water before it goes into the house. And we got them on hot and cold. And these are big filters. And this particular one I put in, it blew up like a balloon. I mean, I've never seen that in all the years I've been doing plumbing. I've never seen that. And the favor that we have with God and man is phenomenal. Because I went in there, all the rugs in the basement were soaking wet. And she said, Rev, we know that wasn't your fault. But in reality, I've said to myself, so I'm putting a new filter, more expensive filter, don't cost another, but in reality, my fault. You know, if that had happened up on the second or third floor, I'd have to spend a lot of money. But God lets you see stuff. And you, because the way you talk and the way you treat people, she couldn't tell me, well, you got to put new carpet down in the basement. Well, the basement is nice, you know, exercise room and all that kind of stuff. Full bathroom, everything in the basement. No. I just went in, fixed the problem for her, and tell her when I come back from off my trip, I'll install the new filter. She said, no problem. As long as the tenants have hot water, that's all we need. With our lives, your lives, my lives, all lives has to be under God's order. It's got to be under God. God has to be our director. He has to be our commander-in-chief, not just talking. We have to become God's chained agents. My life, the life that I live, our life that we live must change other people. God is not coming down from the throne in glory to change nobody. He's already did it at the cross already to change people. Now we that call him our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, we have to live a life that is so, oh my God, so covered in the blood that when people see us, they say, I want to get next to her. I want to get next to him. What they have, I need. That's the kind of life that we got to live. We're not living out here looking out the fact that we're the police for God. We're not the police for God. You are ambassador. You're representing him, but you're not a police for God. God's going to police what he want to police. Just live a lifestyle that when people see you, and then when you talk to people, and if somebody mess up, say, look, well, brother, you know what? Sister, you know you, this and this and this, so we can talk this thing over. Because, see, when I don't talk it over with you and we don't make up, the devil is reaping havoc because he got something. You might think, well, I run off. I don't go to the church anymore. So I don't have to talk to them. I don't have to see him anymore. I don't have to see her anymore. But guess who's seeing? God is seeing. Because you have that malice locked up in your heart. Here are two more life-changing principles. See, most people want Jesus. Oh, they tell you they have Jesus. But, Apostle, let me tell you this. Most folk you hear saying they have Jesus don't want Jesus' principles. They don't want to forgive anybody. They don't want to help anybody. And if they have to help just for their own puffedness. Not to help because that they are ambassadors for Christ. Listen to what he says. Here are two more life-changing principles. You must be willing to change unconditionally. Oh, that's a hard one to tell you. It takes boldness and commitment to change. This is the message today. You must be willing to change unconditionally. Now, I'm not going to change. I don't have to do nothing to please to them that I'm this or that. I know who I am in God. This is what we say. I don't have to please to nobody. But guess who we have to please? God. We have to walk in love, live in love. You want to go to heaven? You got to live to go to heaven. You're not going to heaven because you know a lot of Bible verses from Genesis to Revelation. You're not going to heaven because that you know who Paul is, or Samuel is, or John the Baptist. Or you're not going to heaven because of that. You have to go. You're going to heaven because you're no longer living the life you used to live, and Jesus is Lord of your life, and you're living for Jesus. Because a lot of people can say, oh, I receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Oh, I heal in his name. I cast out demons in his name, but they never live for Jesus. They never live for him. They never live the life that he said he called us to live. So here, You must be willing to change unconditionally. In the early stage of therapy, counselors bump into the change if syndrome. This is the first thing they tell you. You got to change. You can't remain the same and expect that you go be healed. You got to be willing to go through the exercises, do the treatment that we require you. The client sees change as a strategy of give to get. Yeah, a lot of folk would come in the church and say, okay, I say I'm sorry, because if I say I'm sorry, the pastor might make me a deacon and make me an elder because you look and say that I'm willing to change. But be saying something to get something. I'll change if they are willing to do so. If not, I won't. And then if my wife, if she willing to do this, she willing to say that, I'll do this. But if she not willing to do that, my husband not willing to do that, I'm not going to do nothing, though, because it's not about them, it's about you. It's about you. It's got to be about you. You want folks to change, so you say, well, they come and ask for forgiveness. No. And then you don't really forgive because you got this stuff stuck up in your heart. It's in your conscience. You can't even let go. You're still telling people about what they did to you. So how are you going to get into the kingdom? I want, with God, your reward for changing is intrinsic. You get the joy of his approval plus all the benefits that follows from being a changed person. See, when you begin to change and allow God to change you, all benefits. When Peter said, he said that they have to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Instantly. They didn't have to wait till the next day. The eunuch says, here's some water. What should prevent me from being baptized? Philip has ministered to him. He heard the word. No, he wanted to be baptized because he wanted his life to change. Because after hearing about this Jesus, he wanted his life to change like Jesus, become like Jesus. May we give into God the benefits outweighs everything that we will face. Plus all the benefits that follows from being a changed person. This includes God's a gift of salvation to put, this includes a gift of salve to put on your eyes. See, God wants you to see clearly. Go to Revelation chapter 3 and 18. Revelation chapter 3 and 18. God wants you to see spiritually because you've been blind. We've been blind for so long. And we think that we can see, but really we can't see. This is why we are so stuck up on self. We are so stuck on self. Soon as somebody says something that don't match up with your feelings, your little paper feelings got tore up. I'm talking about it takes boldness and commitment to change. That's the message today. When I go and give me this message last night, and the devil didn't want me to bring this message. So we had a lady had a bloat thing on the house, water everywhere, hot water everywhere. But I'm using this new machine that I just bought, and the machine is fantastic. So you can go in and fix a problem in minutes. It would take hours, in minutes you'll be out of there. And the machine gonna pay for itself. You want me? I said, I'm only going to make it back here in time. The Lord had a plan. Revelation chapter 3 and 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And see, everything about you must change. And see, the white raiment represents righteousness. All eyes must be anointed to see. Saul, moving from Saul to Paul, had to get Ananias, lay hands on him. And whatever was on his eyes fell off like scales. They said it was scales, but he said like scales fell off his eyes. He had a different perspective after change come on him. The ability to see things clearly will enable you to understand the problem and deal with it effectively, regardless of what someone else does or doesn't do. See, when we are seeing through the eyes that God gave us, the new eyes, because we are new creation and behold, all things have become new, we begin to see different and we begin to operate different. We begin to talk to people different. We treat people different because we see different. We feel different. Why? Because we got the feeling of God in us. We have that feeling called compassion, empathy, mercy, grace. All that comes in us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can't still have a whole bunch of malice and resentment inside you and see you filled with the Holy Ghost. No. It's impossible. I tell you the truth. It's impossible. Apostle, you know that. It's impossible anyone to have resentment. I can't have resentment against my brother or sister. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you did to me. I want sister borrow some money from me, Apostle. And I'm not going to tell who the person is. And the person said, well, they're waiting on this body and that body and this body and that body. I said, look, don't even worry about it. Comes in as a gift. I'm not going to put a name on Facebook or stuff like that. Because why? That's my sister in Christ. And I knew if she really could afford to pay me back, all my money, she would pay me back. She said, well, I'll give you a little bit, Pastor. I said, well, that's good. Thank you. A little bit better than none at all. I said, cancel the other half. She paid me half. It's a lot of money. But see, when you have this anointing that I'm talking about today, this boldness comes from knowing Christ Jesus. Peter prayed for this in the book of Acts, for boldness to speak, boldness to act. He prayed for this, the apostle prayed for this in the book of Acts. We need this boldness that comes with the Holy Ghost, not to put people down. Not to, oh my God, be like the good Samaritan. Don't look down like the priest and the Levite and turn over to the other side. We want to have the boldness like the Levite that are willing to help people up, take them to an inn if necessary, and pay for them to get a shower, get some food to eat, put some ointment on their body in them to get healed. We want, that's the kind of boldness we want. I want a boss to say, well, I'm the apostle, man. I'm the chief apostle. I'm the archbishop. I don't need that kind of boldness. I need the boldness to do what God called me to do, to treat people the way he treats me. Love them the way he loves me. Forgive them in spite of they don't want to forgive me. Don't matter. I still got to forgive them. They don't want to forgive me. The whole stuff against me that don't even belong to me. But I said, forgive them. You got to forgive them too. The whole stuff against you that you don't even know that you did. You with us, you got to still forgive them. Why? Because of who you are and whose you are. Let me get this thing finished with. I got a lot of scripture here, but I'm just going to go through here. Look. You must accept, remember, and this is the second principle. You must accept the truth that change means letting go of the past. Remember the first principle, you must be willing to change unconditionally. That's the first principle. The second principle, you must accept the truth that change means letting go of the past. Whatever you cling to ultimately controls you. If the offense results from your action or the loss from your poor judgment, confess it to God. Receive forgiveness and leave it at the cross. If it was the other person's fault, listen, what is it? But you have held on to it because you think you You're the innocent party and deserve your pound of flesh. The freedom you forfeit and the option you miss are too high a price for the false comfort of being right. Oh, my God, my God, my God. And we're dealing with some people that are dealing with this right now. Apostle, you know that. They're dealing with this right now because they figure that if they do fellowship with us, that they're doing all right. It is false comfort. That's what the Bible calls it. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and 32. See, you got to have scripture for this stuff. You have to have scripture for this stuff. Can't go with what people say. Go for it. Because there's people pushing their chest up. And they think they got this thing. They got this stuff done. But this is the word of God. Man, you know, I can't go. I tell the truth, Apostle. I cannot go a day with carrying stuff inside of me, holding stuff in me, book somebody, treat me this bad, treat me. Man, I said, look. Man, I come in the house and people owe me hundreds of dollars. I said, look, don't even worry about it. Because I said, when I leave here, I can't take none of that stuff with me. That's why I give away all the time. Next time I give away some. I had somebody text me this morning, send me an inbox on from Africa. They ain't got no food. I said, Pastor, whatever little you can help us with so we can get some food. Yeah, why God keep you healthy? If you give away $10 to somebody that don't have $10, don't have 10 cents, you know how much that is to them? That's like $1,000. But no, we said, we always think about me, my folks. Ephesians chapter 4 and 32. Let's go over there and see what Paul is saying. He says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. See, this is powerful right here. I got to put my name there because that's a powerful, powerful word right there. Let me put David inside there. David, this is what you got to do always. Always, David. Always, always. Let me put my name in there. Man, I'm telling you something. That's a powerful verse there. Be looking for prosperity message. Man, this is one you ought to put your name in. And be you, kind one to another, tenderhearted. That means you got to be compassionate. Have some love. He says, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Man, I tell you, you can stop the sermon right there. Listen to what he says. Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. We'll release you from the chains of resentment and give you back your future. We are locked up in chains, spiritual chains, because we got this anger and resentment and hatred and jealousy and malice and all this stuff going on inside of us, and we run around telling people we saved. I'm going to heaven. Going to heaven. Ain't nobody can stop me from going to heaven. He got this kind of mindset. Look. I see when I was typing this in the computer, I add some A's on. Shoulda, woulda. But let me see how it says. If you are bound by chains of regret over coulda, woulda, shoulda, God stands ready to make your future better than your past could ever have been. Joel chapter 2. Joel. Oh, Jesus help us. Joel chapter 2. Let's see what we got here. I'm pulling this up in computer fast. Joel chapter 2 and verse 25, I believe. Hear what she says. I will repay you the years that the locust has eaten, the harper, the destroyer, and the cutter. My mighty troops have I sent against you. God, you wonder why we're going through so much? Because the mindset that we have, do you know that it affects God? When we call ourselves a child of God, but we have a mindset of unforgiveness and we're carrying jealousy in our heart. I don't like you because of the way you talk. I can't stand you because you think you... I have all of these things inside of me that's not really real. You know how many people carry that stuff? They think about you that they think that you're more, you think you're more important than them, or you're better than them, or you got more than them, or this, all this stuff they carry, all that stuff comes from the devil. All it comes from the devil. The devil have brother fighting against brother, sister fighting against sister. All this stuff the devil did. Joel chapter 2, let me go into King James Version for that. I'd read out the locust there. He said, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the pamper worm, my great army, which I sent among you. See, God sent that stuff among us just to get us, get our attention. Sometimes God has to allow some stuff to come to eat up all of our vegetation for us to go and pray, God, stop these caterpillars and these cankerworms, the pamper worms, all this stuff from eating all my cabbage and my lettuce and all my beets and all that stuff that I got growing in the backyard. Lord, I asked the Lord to keep them back now, Lord. And Lord said, look, son, I can turn all that stuff away from you. What you need to do is repent. Because I've been looking at your heart. And your heart is full of malice. You know why you're sick all the time? You ever think about it? You don't wish nobody no well. You don't have no good feelings for other people. You just think about you, you're poor no more. That's why you're always sick. God said, now repent. I'm going to heal you. Why you don't have no money? Because you don't want to bless nobody. All you think about you, you're for no more. Bless outside of your house. Even your money tight, just bless somebody. Give somebody $25. Give somebody $50 outside of your house. I'm going to tell more that stuff. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. You ain't worried about it. I said, well, somebody just, I said, send them some money. I said, use Cash App. She said, well, I don't have Cash App. You got Cash App. I said, well, let me put a Cash App on my computer. Send these people some money. We're not rich. We're poor in the natural. But in the spirit realm, we're super rich. Because we don't lack for anything. God supply all our needs. Our needs are not a lot. Listen to what he says. Observe change. Change means accepting risk. Your anxiety will kick in and say, what if I don't get the job? What if the economy fails? What if I make the effort to change, but they don't? We like ironclad guarantees. We want to see everything before our eyes. We live in a microwave age where everything got to be right now. We don't have patience to let God work. If it's not happening my way, it's the highway. The predictability seems less threatening than sticking our necks out. But the price of our security often means remaining stuck with the status quo. Sometimes your greatest risk is taking no risk at all. God often requires you to leave the path that feels and looks safe for the one that feels and looks risky. God takes us into places to preach the gospel that most people don't want to go. And we have to depend, we have to trust God that he will protect us because he said so. He'll be our shield and buckler. Hallelujah. He'll be our mighty battle axe. We can't say, well, because I'm going in that neighborhood, I'm going to strap on a 9mm on me. Which life were you trying to save? Somebody still can shoot you, although you got a 9mm on your waist. Hallelujah. But when you trust God, that God is your protector, he is your shield and your buckler, he is your strong tower, that you're going to find safety in him, guess what? You're going to be protected. Everything that comes to destroy you, go humble itself to you. Not so much to you, but to the power that's inside of you. Listen, now faith is the assurance and the confirmation, the telling deed of the things we hope for, the proof we do not see, Hebrews 11:1, Amplified Bible. Your faith is foolproof assurance. Excuse me. God's confirmation. The title deed guaranteeing that the change you want will take place if you act on it. Number two. Change will happen if failure is not allowed to stop you. Oh, my God, my God, my God. In spite of how I feel, I'm still going to do Blog Talk Radio. If brother so-and-so don't come on the line, if sister so-and-so don't come on the line, I'm still going to do Blog Talk Radio. Why? Because God says, this is what you're supposed to do. This is an assignment I give you because there's thousands upon thousands of people. I can go back in there and tell how many thousands now. That we are reaching that we don't see on the morning. Somebody hacked my, I had a Instagram page. I never post anything on it. I'm going there. I haven't been on there since 2010. And somebody hacked it day before yesterday. And they tried to connect with my daughter-in-law. She's in Virginia. So she know that I'll never send her nothing on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. I just send my son stuff on Messenger and Facebook. So she says somebody's trying to reach her through Instagram, through my pastor. Look, I don't. So I tend to post some stuff on there that somebody hacked my Instagram face and at the page. And if they're trying to connect you to get money from you or donation, I don't ask nobody for donation. So don't send them when they say, this is David and I'm Apostle David Callen. I'm asking, I'm doing this for Africa or India or China or Japan or any place in the world. Send donations. Don't send them your money because I ain't asking nobody for no donations. Okay? Please. And people going to use that. So I went back in there. I post that on Facebook. You know, don't let them do that to them. This world is so electronically inclined now, technology, that they own everything to get to your bank account, get to your people, and get to your ministry, whatever. You know, there's a lot of deception in the world right now. So try open your spiritual eyes. Change will happen if failure is not allowed to stop you. Fear and failure often stops us from trying, yet many, many of God's best people experience failure on their way to success. Consider Abraham, Moses, Elijah, David, etc. All of them succeeded only after dealing with personal failure. Indeed, the richest, most profound change often happens after we have tasted failure. Until then, we tend to be cocky and of not much use to God. Peter failed the Lord miserably. And at the most crucial moment in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 72, he grew becoming Christ's choice to lead his newly empowered church on the day of Pentecost. Winning 3,000 souls, Ruth turned her life around when she was bereaved, broke, and barren. How? By choosing the right mentor. She told Naomi, wherever you go, I will go, Ruth 1:16. The fact that Naomi was a Jew and Ruth a Gentile, or that Ruth was young and Naomi was older, didn't put Ruth off a bit. Doubtless, there were times they didn't see eye to eye or relate to each other at all. But when God wants to stretch you, he will put somebody into your life with different experience and insight. Naomi was Ruth's eyes and ears in a world she didn't know. She was her tutor and guide in getting Ruth to her destiny. God is raising up leaders with solutions for today's problems. If you hope to be called for duty, recognize those he sends to prepare you. Whether they come to chair, comfort, counsel, or correct you. See, a lot of us, we want cheerleaders, but we don't want no chastisement. We don't want no correction. We don't want anyone to say anything that would disturb our spirit at all. And sometimes, I like you, Holy Spirit, sometimes all of us need to be, our spirit to be prick a little bit, disturb a little bit, because that's the area in our life that we need to be sharpened. Most folk don't like to be touched. They don't want you to say much, say anything. Go to John chapter 2. My phone going off. Telemarketers is calling me like crazy. John chapter 13. Let's hit one scripture here quick. John chapter 13. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Listen, Jesus is speaking here. And when we come against the man of God, the woman of God, you're coming against God. That's what Jesus just says. Well, you know that man of God, that woman of God, he is living the life. Man, no. Do whatever you got to do to make it right. Hallelujah. It's not about me. It's not about you, people. It's about Jesus, the commander, the one, the chief, the overseer. Hallelujah. The one that sent us. Jesus said it wasn't about him. It was about the Father. We got to get this mindset right. By getting into the right field, Ruth said, let me glean after him in whose sight I may find favor. Things were bad in Moab, but good in Bethlehem. So Ruth left the comfort of the familiar, stepped out in faith, and not only ended up surviving, but striving. In the end, she married Boaz, the owner of the field, and went on to become part of the family of King David and our Lord Jesus Christ. How's that for a turnaround? How is that for change when you're stuck on stupid and you don't want to make a move? Ruth was willing to leave the comfort zone. You got folk today that they don't want to become uncomfortable in any way. And it's been going on for years. And years upon years, and they're at the same place, can't get where God wants to take them because they're still stuck on self. Listen to what he says. God's plan for your future involves connecting with the right people and being in the right field so you ask him to guide you. Father, we thank you today that you are our guide. Father, we thank you that we cannot do anything without you. But God, we recognize that we can do all things as you strengthen us through Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask you to touch the four corners of this world today. Lord, we are at the point of nuclear destruction. We are asking you to touch the north, the south, the east, and the west wind. Father, let it take this word to the four corners of the earth. And whosoever hear this word today, Lord, it is your word. Let this word, oh God, begin to cut and let it begin to stir up inside of each and every one of us. To be willing to forgive, forget. To be willing to be compassionate. To be full of mercy oh God, to be have a mind, oh God, to love unconditionally. Lord, not just to go down in the water and say we're baptized and that we died with Christ and we come up in a resurrected body with Christ. But Lord, that we live for Christ, oh God. We live to make a difference in someone else's life. Lord, it's not about us. Oh God, we ask you, God, to send change now. Let this message bring change all over the world, God. Lord, give us the boldness to speak truth in love, unconditional love. Help us to stop running, Lord. Help us to stop and stand still where you want us to be. Oh, God, if you want us to move to be another place to be, oh, God, show us the place. You lead us as you lead Ruth. We ask you to lead us, oh, God. Father, we ask, God, that today that you touch the hearts and minds of people all over the world, those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, we want you to touch them. By the Spirit of your dear beloved Son, Jesus Christ, Father, we ask you to heal the sick, raise up the dead in spirit, open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears. Lord, we ask you to fix everyone that's suffering with arthritic pain in their knees, in the ankles, in the hip, the back, kidney pain, oh God, bladder pain. My brother, Lord, just had to go to the hospital with gall bladder, we call them, stones, and he was had so much pain. They had to put him on heavy medication until he can get the surgery. Lord, we just ask right now, God, that those stones will just dissolve and go out in the urine, Lord. Father, we ask you to fix that one that's had brain tumor. Lord, the little girl has so many tumors in her head. Lord, we pray for the tumors all dissolve. Minister on their knees, Lord. We pray for every tumor to dry up right now, God. God, we know you already started the job, and I know you're going to complete it. Father, we pray, God, for this ministry that you have given us. Lord, we promise you since 2010, if there's one person on the line, if there's no person on the line, we are still going to come here whenever we get a chance, Lord, unless you send us out to do a job. But if we don't have to do a job, Lord, we're going to be here. Night or day, we're going to be here. Bring the message. For you fill our heart with message. Lord, heal somebody today. Lord, that one that don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, this Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we know that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see the things that's going on in our nation. Well, it's all over the world, but we got to be concerned more about our nation because we set the standard for all other countries to follow. The moment we say same-sex marriage, every other country was going for it. Now they're trying to get in Africa. And the kings and the presidents of Africa is fighting against them. And they're threatening Africa with destruction. All country are, because they want to force this same-sex gender stuff on Africa. And they got homosexuals in Africa, but they're not going to have them getting married and all that kind of stuff. And putting that stuff out in the paper. They're not going to do that, you know, because you got homosexuals all over the world. It was in Noah's time. It was in David's time. It was in Joshua's time, Moses' time. It's all over the world. But they want to force it down on the people to make it legal. Not going to happen. We ask you, Father God, expose every darkened corner. Lord, and those that are out there that don't know Jesus, the Bible says that while we were yet sinning, God commanded his love towards us. God commanded towards us Christ died. Romans 5 and 8. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and 23. All, that means you and I, all of us. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're not actually doing things. But a lot of times we are having thoughts in our mind. And Jesus said, if you even think about it, you're already sinning. You know, they were talking about adultery. And he said, if you're even thinking about it, you're already sinning. So the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, you might sin, and you sin the sin that you don't get locked up for, you don't have to go to prison for, and you feel that you're getting away. I want to tell you today, I want this to be recorded today. You may be living a homosexual lifestyle. This is okay, legal in our country and most of the states. And some other countries legal, some other countries illegal. Some countries, they would kill you, cut off your hands, cut off your penis if they caught, you're caught in a homosexual lifestyle. I'll tell you, some parts of Africa, they would cut off your penis. Just like when they catch you doing certain, saying certain things, they cut your tongue so you can't talk anymore. They do all these things in some countries. For this country, you can walk around and kiss your man. Your man kissing your man or a woman kissing your woman in the mall anywhere you want to. It's legal in most of the states. But it's not legal in heaven. So what would happen is that you would die spiritually. This is what he's saying. The wages of sin is death. You're going to die anyway physically. But then there's a second death. It's called spiritual death. See, when you sin and you sin against God doing these things that God said don't do, you set yourself a spiritual death. So you get a chance. Now, God gives all of us a chance to come to him in the name of his precious son, Jesus, and come with a heart of repentance. That's like in Acts 2 and 38 that we said today. Repenting meaning that you come into God, turn away from sin. And the Bible says that God is not his desire that any should perish. So he sent his son to die on the cross, gave his life. When no one took his life from him, he laid down his life. He can take it up anytime he wants to. He's God all by himself. But he laid down his life, giving you a chance, giving me a chance, a wretch like me. He gave me a chance. That's why I'm so excited about it. I'm excited about him. I'm excited about my Savior. And if you call upon him even right now where you are, doesn't matter what your sin was, you say, well, I was shacking up last night. I was committing adultery last night. I was fornicating. I was getting drunk. I was cussing. I was gambling. It doesn't matter. Right now, all that can be wiped away. All he can wipe that slate completely clean right now. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I believe what the scriptures say. And today, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system, all that it stands for. I believe that you died on a cross, that you were buried in a borrowed tomb. And I believe that God the Father raised you on the third day. I believe this in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth, that you did all this for me, Jesus. If I was the only one on the earth sinning, you would have left your home in glory and came into time just to save me. And I thank you, Jesus. Today I open the door to my heart, and I'm inviting you to come in and live on the throne of my heart. Take complete control of my life, Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want you to take complete control over my life. Lead me and guide me as the good shepherd does his sheep, and I will follow. Fill me with your Holy Ghost according to Acts 2 and 38, and I know I will be filled. Jesus, today I'm laying all of my burdens at the foot of the cross. Everything that held me in bondage, every sin, every deception, I lay at the foot of the cross right now. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to take control. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I accept you now as my Lord and my Savior and my soon coming King. If you just said that prayer, very uncommon prayer, I believe the Holy Spirit just gave to me, you have received the gift of salvation, but it's more than that. You know, Pastor said, well, you saved, just go on and live. No. Well, now I'm going to tell you, get a Bible, This is what he told me back in 2006. Tell the people. It's not in the Bible. It's not written down in the Bible. But this is what he told me. I don't know about Eliphaz. He told me, tell the people, get a Bible and start studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of this Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we teach and preach about, and the apostles. The doctrine that they teach is the same doctrine. But you want to get it understanding. And then you might want to go back and start at Genesis all the way to Revelation, but invite the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to come. He's a great teacher. Remember that you're not doing anything. All you're doing is submitting to him and committing your life to him. But it's by faith. Everything is by faith. Because by faith you have been saved through, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone would boast. Grace, unmerited favor that he extended to you and I. That's what it is. That's what brings us this gift of salvation. His grace. And your faith, your belief, your trust in what he has done at Calvary had given you access to living water right now. The woman at the well told him, give me the water, sir. She wanted the water because she didn't want to come back in the heart of the sun and people mocking her for her adulterous lifestyle. But when he continued speaking to her and she got the living spiritual water, she went out, leave the water pot, and she went and tell all the neighbors. She taught evangelizing. Come, let me show you a man to tell me all about myself. Everybody come out. The whole city come out, want to see this Jesus. Today, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, call up a pastor, preacher, or teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and according to Acts 2 and 38, and tell them you want to be baptized. In Jesus' name. Why? Because this is your soul that you're fighting with for. The Bible says that you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Understand? So you need to do that. Once you're going down that water, we call it a liquid grave. You invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even enemies. Everybody you want to see. Because this is the greatest day of your life. I always say that I will never forget the day I got baptized. It always stands before me. I've never experienced joy like that since before then and after. I'll tell you, I ran off. I was crying and was laughing and was snorting and everything at the same time. This thing that came over me, the Spirit of God that came over me, and it was telling me that you're changing. I wouldn't completely change, but telling I was changing because it's not a one-day thing. You know, this thing happens every day. You get more and more, more and more, more and more like him. More and more you become like him. Why? Your features don't change. But your spirit man changed. You know, your emotions change. You're feeling different on the inside. You react different. Every day is changing. So we thank you for, if you get baptized, you come up with that water in Jesus' name, find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. Get yourself involved. Not because of the choir. Some churches got very strong, anointed choirs that can sing well, but they don't preach sound doctrine. You know, they just preach that thing that make you feel, preach on. One, the preacher preach because the preacher ain't preaching nothing to convict their soul. You know, convict their lifestyle. You want to preach that preaching. You want to be in a church that they're preaching that message that make you think twice, make you examine yourself. You leave the church, you go back, you want to open the Bible. But I heard the pastor say this. I got to look and see for real. If, like the Berean church, I want to see if they're really in the Bible. I want to see. I like that. If you got a preacher that's preaching, all you're going to say, yeah, oh, preacher preaching good today. Preacher preaching good, but because there's nothing touching you and making you look at yourself. You get up from the church, you say, I know, girl, you should have been at the church yesterday. Pastor preached good. He was really good. When he preached, you don't know what the preacher kind of, then not to convict you. See, when he convicts you, you're going to remember all. You're going to remember all day long. And preacher talks about the stuff that you know you're doing. It's going to come up inside your belly, going to regurgitate in your throat like a cow chewing grass. You got to go from one belly to the next belly, but that stuff going to come up in your throat. When the preacher preaching against sin and adultery and all that stuff he preached about that God wants us to hear and not do, you know. Convict us enough that when we feel like we want to do it, you know, I can't do that. I remember the pastor said yesterday, if I do that stuff, I'm a candidate for hell. Ain't no playing around with it. You want to preach that preach sound doctrine and not afraid to tell the truth in love and make you be convicted to live a life that please God. Father, we thank you and praise you for those that receive the gift of salvation, those that will receive the gift later. And God, we thank you for this word. Lord, we thank you for those that came on today to hear the word and those that would hear it later. Thank you for Minister Jones, Apostle Stewart. Thank you for Pastor Joyce. She probably in the back somewhere. And Lord, we thank you for the prophetess Cheryl that came on today. Lord, we pray that they got something out of this message because I got full out of it, Lord. I thank you for filling me afresh. I had to try to compose, keep myself together from falling apart. It was just a strong word for me. God bless you all. The line is open. Anybody want to say something? You can come on in. You can come on in.
Praise the Lord, Apostle.
Praise the Lord,
Praise
Apostle.
Praise the Lord, Apostle. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Praise him.
Amen. I tell you, that was an on-time message. Very, very powerful. Very, very anointed. And, you know, it just was sound doctrine. That's all to it. It was sound doctrine. And I tell you what, it'll mold and fashion anybody that's willing to change. Want to draw near to God, you know, with a true heart, with full assurance of faith. You know, he would draw him by his loving kindness, that kind of word coming forth. And it just was so powerful about forgiveness. You know, it's more than just saying, I forgive you, as you were saying. You know, it's more than just saying, I love you. You know, and, you know, many of us have the message, I love you, you know, and I forgive you, and, you know, and I got your back, and I'm there for you. And, you know, so many different things that people say out of their mouth, and they say it from their heart, you know. And they love everybody. They don't hate nobody. But at the same time, you know, when it comes down to really, really putting those words into action, you know, and truly loving and truly forgiving and truly being there, you know what I'm saying? You know, people have a problem with that. I had a problem with that many years ago when I was younger, much, much younger. I had a problem with that. You know, somebody will do you something after you done did something so nice to them and for them, and you do good by them, and then all of a sudden they double cross you. It's like you build up a hatred in your heart, you know, in your spirit. And you know, we're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to love people unconditionally. Now, we're supposed to hate the
That's
spirit
right.
of the devil that uses people. But, of course, we have to love people. But in order to love people, it's more than just saying, I love you, as you said. You have to show the action. And, I mean, you painted the picture on today. Not even a fool could sit up there and say, look, I don't understand. Because it was made plain for... Even a child could have understood the way that was broke down today. And that is the big problem. That is the big problem, people not having the spirit of forgiveness, because the true spirit of God, I'm talking about the real spirit, true spirit of God is to have the spirit of forgiveness. We say we love God, and, you know, we know God, and we don't have that spirit of forgiveness, and soon as somebody says something or double-cross us or... step on our toes some kind of way, you know, we're ready to condemn them. You know, we're ready to write them off. You know what I'm saying? But yet we say we have the love of Christ in our heart, but it's not like that. How can we have the love of Christ in our heart if we don't have the spirit of forgiveness? And you painted that picture, the things that, you know, we've done to Christ, you know, while we were yet sinners, how that Jesus died for us. And how that, you know, he forgave us. Well, I mean, we've done a lot of people wrong in our lives. And some of us who have not done a lot of people wrong in our lives, we've done somebody wrong in our lives. And somebody have wronged us as well. But the thing is, you know, there's so many people that did Jesus wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because he had no sin in his life, you know, but yet he carried our sins. And he forgave us. For everything that we did, that we were big enough to do and that we did, he actually forgave us. He didn't just say, you know, I'm going to forgive you. He put that into action and actually went to the cross and was nailed to the cross hung, bled, suffered, and died. Body was broken and blood was shed for we who are his people. I mean, while we were yet sinners, he did that. Now, and that was for everything that we did wrong. I mean, everything. Now, some people just beat and did us one thing. One thing. And I'm telling you, we get to the point where we get so bitter and malice build up. And we, you know, we have that spirit of unforgiveness. And how can we say we have the spirit of Christ? How can we say we know him? Well, we could say we know him. But I tell you what, many going to be surprised when he say, I don't know you. Never knew you. Never knew you, because I knew your heart the whole time you were saying, I love folk the whole time. You know, I don't hate nobody. I love everybody. And the whole time saying that, he know the heart. He know the mind. He know all of that. And so, you know, it'll come a time when he say, I never knew you. Depart from me, that work iniquity. And it's so sad, because you got a lot of people that's preaching and claiming to know him, but they really, they're saying it from their lips. The heart is far from God, because when it comes down to showing forth that love in action, it's just not there. It's just not there. And I heard you saying some things about AI. I've been hearing about AI, and I kind of been wondering, what are they talking about? Constantly talking about AI. I hear it every day. On the TV, AI thing, and I heard you say that they're making this AI, whatever it is and whatever it means, out of a god, and making robots out of people. Well, I've been knew they were making robots out of people. They are actually making robots out of people. Now, they're making robots, too, you know, mechanical robots. They're making that, too, you know, where they could send it in with a bomb on it or something like that and activate that bomb, where people could just shoot it up, can't kill a robot. You know, a robot ain't got no life, you know what I'm saying? They mechanically operate it. And I know about those type of robots, too, and they could put that robot in, walk into a situation being shot all up, and, you know what I'm saying, blow the head off it, and it'll still be moving, still coming in with that bomb on it. And when it gets to where they want it to get at, then ignite that thing, and it'll blow up. That whole area, it accomplished what they set forth for it to accomplish. But then they actually are making people out of robots, too. Robots. People are becoming robots with what they're doing. They're taking something out of the brain or something, or connecting something to the brain and people, and making people out of human robots. And all of these things are going on, and it's so sad to see, I tell you. But I just stay prayerful. Try to stay in my land, try to do the things that's pleasing in the sight of God. And like I say, you know, ever get a chance to forgive or try to help somebody else, because I realize more than ever now that we only tools in the hand of the carpenter. We just tools in the hand of our maker. We just tools in the hand of our creator. I realize that more now than ever.
That's right, yeah.
And just
Just
like a carpenter or you know what I'm saying? A master builder would take the tools that he got and fix what he needs fixed. You know what I'm saying? That's all we are. And whatever he uses us to fix, and it gets fixed, we take. You know, the pliers can't take the glory. The pliers can't say, you know, I'm the one that was used to do this. I'm the one. You know, the pliers can't say, I the pliers. Or the saw can,
right.
I the saw, I the wrench, I the this, I the that, you know, like some people do, you know, to try to take credit. You know why? Because it's the carpenter, it's the master builder that's doing it. The pliers is just a tool that's in his hand. And that's all we are. We just tools in his hand. That's why we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service and will. We're not conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, and prove what is that good and acceptable. Got to be acceptable. Perfect will of God. Praise God. Got to be accepted in his sight. And if we don't have the spirit of forgiveness, we could say that we have love and all this in our heart, but if we don't have the spirit of forgiveness, it is not accepted. It's not accepted. You got to have the spirit of forgiveness. Got to have the spirit of repentance for the things we know wrong, that we do wrong. We got to have a spirit of godly repentance. Because if we don't have that, to repent, of what we be done said out of our mouth or done thought in our mind or what we done did, you know, if we don't repent of it, you know, there remained no more sacrifice for sin. Not only that, you know, he tells us, you know, that we shall all likewise perish. So it's very, very important that we repent. So I just want to say those few words of Apostle has very, very on-time message, and that message is something that is to be reached across America and around the world. And as you said, that spirit of homosexuality in Africa and the things that's happening around the world, and that, it is happening around the world. I mean, it's coming out of the closet like never before. And I heard you saying that they cut people's head off and all kind of things. And I remember when I was a little boy, and I used to travel across the river, right on the other side of the river, on the west bank. I'm on the east bank. I'm on the west bank. But to travel across the Mississippi River Bridge on the east bank, out they call it over there in town, over there in New Orleans, that area that's around the house, got all of the big hotels and the big department stores and all of that. And used to have a lady. I saw a lady. She used to have black high-top tennis on. I still had a dress on with black high-top tennis on. I remember that. That lady had both of her hands cut off. She had no hands. And the tennis that she had on always was untied. Some kind of way she managed to get them on, but she never was able to tie them up because she had no hands. And I remember seeing that lady, and that lady used to be, you know, looking for somebody to help her to buy her something to eat and different things like that. And I wasn't thinking at the time to do it, but I can't recall nobody stooping down and even tying that lady's shoes. And even if they would have tied them, she would have needed somebody later on to untie them. You know, just to show you, we are so blessed, and we don't really look at how really blessed we are. The church that I came out of, this young guy wasn't there when I was going to the church. It was after. I can't recall him being there when I was at the church, but I went back to visit the church, and he was there. I don't remember him being there when I was there. But anyway, he may have. It's just been that long ago. But this little fella here, he had grew up to be a man. But he didn't have no bottom legs. He only had little above his knee. All that was cut off from that part on down. And he didn't have no hands either. You know, he born like that, though. You know, his arm, one arm was like a half a arm, and the other arm was a little longer, but no hands. No hands and no feet. And his daddy would carry him. You know, he had become a man, but his daddy would bring him in, sometime carry him, bring him in a wheelchair. But most of the times he would carry him in the church, because I could recall him sitting on a pew, not in a wheelchair. I can't recall him really sitting in a wheelchair, to tell you the truth. I recall him sitting on a pew. He would set him up on a pew. And he was sat there with that pew, and his legs was long enough. What I'm saying, the legs he had, upper legs he had, was long enough for him to sit on that pew and hang just a little bit to the end of the pew, a little bit over the end of the pew, and that was, the rest of that was cut off. And he didn't have but like a part of an arm and then a part of the other arm. And he was blind. I forgot about that. And he was blind. And his head used to always go around in a circle, because a lot of time when a person is blind, there was a certain way that they hold their head, and they get tired of holding their head like that. So you see them, their head go around in a circle, then they circle it back the other way. That's because they be exercising their neck, because they be tired, their neck be sitting in one position for a long time. So you might see them spin their head, don't go. I mean, they don't go around like an owl head go all the way around. I ain't talking about spin all the way around on their neck. I'm just talking about circle to exercise their neck one way, then circle the other way to exercise the neck the other way, because they get so tired of holding the head in one position. And because they're not looking over here or looking over there. You know, Only time they would look basically in a different direction if they hear something in a different direction. So a blind person will turn their head like that. But a lot of times they don't hear nothing. They just hold their head in just one direction because they're not seeing nothing no matter what they're looking at. I mean, they see it in the spirit. If they, you know, if they got the spirit, they can see in the spirit. But other than that, you know, they turn their head when they hear a sound or something. They look towards the sound. And so I saw that little fella, you know, he would shake his neck and thing. I was able to see at that time myself. So when you think about it, how blessed some of us are, and then we get to the point where if somebody says something to us or somebody do us a little something, you know, we get bent out of shape. We can't forgive them. We, you know what I'm saying? We holding them for things and getting sick our own self because we don't want to release them in the spirit. It's just sad. And to say we love God like that and all the things Jesus has suffered like he suffered, and we can't suffer one or two little things, you know, three, four little things. It's mind-boggling, and you know, it's, oh my God, just to think about it, it's just, I don't know, it's just sad. It's hard to even describe it. You know what I'm saying? Because of what Jesus did for us, and
that's
we blessed with our hands, we blessed with our eyes, our ears, our nose,
that's
our throat, our feet, our legs. We can get from one place to another place. We drive a car. Cross the road by ourselves and all, you know, go to the store, make groceries, come home, take trips, you know, on boats and, you know, and go to all these different countries and visit and see other things. And at the same time, here we get so upset and so disgusted that, I mean, we just break fellowship and think, I done did it before myself. But
me too, Pastor.
But when you grow, you start growing in the Lord, you begin to sin. I didn't came back and ask people to forgive me. I didn't come back. On my own bishop, I walked out on him one day. But I went back. I went back. And he began to tell me. He said, well, you know, I was elder at that time. He said, well, you know, elder, it's like this. You're not going to always. And remember this. He said, you're not going to always see eye to eye with everybody. You're not going to see eye to eye. Sometimes you're not going to preach the same thing, even though the Bible says, you know, that we all should be preaching the same thing. He said, you're not going to find too many people preaching the same thing. He said, but don't let that just be no cause, no division, separation, because you don't see eye to eye about a particular situation, you know. And I tell you, man, when I think about you know where God brought me from in these many years. Well, I say many years, but it's only a few, really. Even look, 50 years is only a few years. That ain't no time.
You're right.
You know, lady came to church, and I'm almost finished, Apostle. Lady came to church yesterday. She was 101 years old. I think at the end of this week, beginning of next week, she make 102, and she came into church, and it was such a blessing that lady and you know, we've preached the word of God, and, you know, and the Lord led me to say some great things about her being here all these years. And I had one time, when she first came out of her mother's womb, and cried a little baby. Doctor might have had to turn upside down and spank her in order for her to cry, you know, make sure she lived, was alive and thing. And then after that, growing up and was able to jump rope and stuff like that, you know, and then maybe play jacks and stuff like that, you know, and then was able to run up and down stairs in her life. But now she's got to the point now, you know, she needs somebody to kind of help her around and stuff. But
yes,
still 101 years old, still getting around, still able to walk in and walk out. My God, what a blessing it is. You know what I'm saying? And some people, like I say, they come out still bone, you know what I'm saying? Never see the sun, you know. It's just amazing. One more thing. I was thinking this morning about birth and about conception taking place. And I thought about the conception when animals come together, like giraffes or something. That whole giraffe is bones and everything. Conception takes place, and over a period of time it grows. That long neck giraffe, long legs, and everything be all curled up inside of his mother's womb until she deliver, and let that four-legged animal out of her womb. And you think about it, that whole giraffe came from just an egg and a sperm. You know what I'm saying? Everything, the bone, oh, my God. And I thought about all of the different kind of other animals. I just was looking at all of these animals and the human beings themselves, and you know how that one time they had no eyes and no hands and no hair on their head, and what have you, feet and toes and fingernails and all of these different shaped animals, and how God just created all of them, and the fish in the sea and all of it. Then I thought about the plants and how that the seed had to be planted in the ground for all of these plants to come out of that one seed, different kind of plants and different shaped plants, and the bark and then the limbs and all of the leaves and the stems and the twigs and the fruits and the different kind of fruit. I see, all I could sit back and say, Lord God, you are amazing. And that was just the thing here on earth. You start thinking about the planets, the stars, and you just sat there, and God just bring your places in the spirit, and just you know, as you meditate, you begin to see how awesome and how great he is. And yet, even at that, it's just a feint of imagination, a little glimpse of what he's allowing you to see. You know, because you still got all that's in the heavens of heavens and, the waters that be above the heavens. And I mean, what people need drugs for? What they need fentanyl? What they need heroin, cocaine? What they need? At one time I didn't know that, but I can see it now. You don't need that to get high. You want to be high.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And feel good and all
look
of this.
Look up to the sky.
Get in that Bible and pray and just let the Holy Ghost use you to meditate. And my God, he'll take you places you've never been in the spirit. I'm telling you, Lord have mercy. But anyway, I'm finished, Apostle. I just wanted to say a few little things about the love of God.
Thank you.
And
thank
how powerful
you.
That
thank
message
you.
Was that you was ministering. And it just made me really start thinking about how blessed we really are. Lord have mercy, and how that just, you know, hard for us sometimes to forgive people. But of course we know that the works of the flesh that's fighting against us.
That's
trying
the enemy.
To keep separated, you know? Yeah.
That's
yes,
that.
Sir.
It's the enemy. The enemy. And we thank God for you, Apostle, and Prophetess Kirk, she was on there, and her son, Minister Jones, he was on there, just got off, but we thank God for you all. You know, God is a faithful God. You know, this we just went over to the school yesterday, the college. My granddaughter had her last band showcase yesterday, so we went for that. Then we got to go back, I think, on the 19th for her graduation from college. God is just so faithful. We came back. The lady I work for a lot, do a lot of work. She got a lot of property here in Boston, this lady. And she called me this morning. She had a blowout pipe, and I went over there to fix it. Before I leave, I was going up the highway, and I was praying. I said, Lord, let me. I was tired because we had to drive a long way. You know, it's 2 hours away, 2 hours going towards coming back from the college. So we were tired. And then we had to bring back some stuff here from the college. We got to bring back some more on the 19th. And then on the 20th, we're going to bring all her stuff home. But we were tired, and this morning I was just getting into my, you know, that second sleep, and my phone rang. So I had to get up and put some jeans on, and I said, I got to go and fix this problem for this lady. And that's one of my customers. So I'm going up the highway, and I start to praise the Lord. I'm tired. You know, I'm tired. My eyes are still not fully awake yet. Give me traveling mercy on the highway. And that's a busy time on the highway, 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock. On the highway in the morning, that's rush hour time. There was a four-car pileup, and the highway, the whole highway was blocked up. I mean, cars back up for miles. And I got up there, I could see the store trucks, the ambulance, the fire truck, the police officers. I said, Lord, I thank you. Thank you. Because you know what, Pastor, God is so good. God knew if that accident, I don't think anybody died. I would have been going on that highway to be traveling 85, 90 miles an hour. You hear what I'm trying to go on that highway? And I said to myself, look, oh, God, if you ain't go past 55, 60 miles an hour, I said, Lord, I just thank you. You know, yes. Little things like that. He does. He let this thing happen because he knew I was tired. I was tired. Lord Jesus. I said, I thank him for that stuff. I thank for stuff. You know, because sometimes your people are so ungrateful, man. You can't praise God for what they have. They're worrying about what they don't have, you know. And one of the greatest things that God gives us is the spirit of forgiveness, empathy, compassion. That's his characteristics. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. If we are born-again believers, it's not preaching the word. People think it's all about preaching the word. Yes, it's preaching the word, teaching and preaching the word, but it's more living the word, living the word. That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. It's living the word, living the word. See, you got preachers. You got preachers right now. I wouldn't tell you a lie, Apostle, from here in Boston and other states. But I know for sure from here in Boston that's sitting in prison right now for selling crack cocaine.
Oh, yeah. Right now.
Okay.
They're all over the place, Apostle, for murder, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not about preaching. It's about living the word. Living the word. Jesus said, how you can say you love me, you never see me, but you don't love your brother or sister you see every day. Jesus said that.
That's right.
You know, so it's about living this word. We got to live this word out, man. I don't care. If something happened and I don't like him, I said, Pastor, forgive me. I say this, I did it. I said, please forgive me. I'm going to say it. I ain't going to let nobody tell me to say it for me. I'm going to say it. Why? Because I want to see Jesus. And I can't see Jesus holding the cat, holding something against the cat, against the dog. I can't see him. He's not going to see him. I'm going to see him as a judge because he will condemn me to hell then. You know, I don't want to see him as a judge. I want to see him as the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Yeah.
You know, so I have to live this thing out, man.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're absolutely correct, Apostle. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
So we thank God. I'm going to get over here, Apostle. I got to do a couple of things here around this house, so the other folks jump off. So I thank you for sharing, and I'll be back on here tomorrow. The Lord stay the same. I'm sorry, we just thank you and praise you for my Apostle, my friend, my brother. Oh, God, we just thank you for his lovely wife, my sister, my friend. Oh, my God, I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Joyce, Lord. I thank you for the ministry that they have, Lord, that they preach and teach the truth, and not only preach and teach the truth, but they live the truth, God. We ask for her protection when she go out ministering to those that are sick and shut in, Lord. We ask you to forgive Pastor Joyce. Always give her traveling mercy, Lord. Lord, always send your angels before her, Lord. Let her never have to worry when she's on the highway, Lord. Lord, even if she get tired, you open her eyes. Keep her eyes awake, God, that she will always be alert, oh, God, that for those other people that are driving crazy, going in and out of lanes, she will be alert every time, even in her neighborhood. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you keep her safe and secure. Keep all those in the house of faith, the household of faith, though, over there, Lighthouse Church of Christ. Lord, we pray, keep them safe and secure. And the young people, Lord, we ask you to watch over the young people, and not only that ministry, but all the ministries, Lord, because the enemy is coming after our young people, Lord. He's trying to stop them from to reaching maturity in you. Father, we pray right now, God, for you to cover, oh, God, cover the churches, cover the leaders, the apostles, the prophets, the prophetess, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, oh, God, the deacons, the elders, oh, God, the ushers, oh, God, cover them, Lord God, cover them at, oh, God, at their point of need, oh, God. We pray, Father God, that you open our hearts, oh, cut open our hearts, Lord, and remove the callous, everything that would hinder us, oh, God, from falling and I'm being led by you, Lord. We pray, Father God, for anything in us, oh God, that would try to keep us from forgiving anyone, Lord, we ask you to remove it, Lord. God, we ask you to clear the path of righteousness for us, oh God, that we stay on that path, oh God, that we never walk to the left or to the right, but we stay on that straight and narrow path. Father, we ask, oh God, that you cover each and every one of our family members, our nieces and nephews, our aunts and uncles, our brothers and sisters that are alive, oh God. We pray, Father God, oh God, we pray for that unsaved man, that unsaved woman right now, God, that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. favor. And Father, we ask you to meet them at their point of need. They may be in a crack house right now. They may be somewhere drinking alcohol, some type of corn liquor or grape liquor, something they're drinking right now that changed their mood. Lord, we ask you, Father God, to arrest them in the spirit right now. Put spiritual handcuffs on and a spiritual muzzle to stop them, Father. We pray, Father God, to draw. You said no one can come except you draw them. So, Father, we ask you to draw. Father, touch the president, touch the vice president, touch the Congress, the Senate, the House of Representatives, the Supreme Court, Justice Department. Lord, let them make laws that bring glory to your name, oh God. Bring honor to you, Father. We ask you, Lord God, touch those people that they're fighting for, to keeping all the abortion laws going and the same-sex laws going. Lord, we ask you to break down those strongholds right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. We ask you to raise up people that will stand up for righteousness. Raise up people in the politics, divisions, offices, oh God, that will stand for righteousness and holiness. Oh God, we pray today, Lord God, that you begin to let your wind blow through, oh God, like in the upper room, God. Let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow through, Lord God, to the political arena, Lord God. Lord, we're at the borderline of nuclear war, Lord. Where they're going to annihilate all of these different nations, oh God, the world. Father, we ask you, God, to touch these leaders, oh God. Touch these leaders that they will come to sense, godly sense, not human sense, but godly sense, Father. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you protect the women. Oh God, protect the little boys and girls that are being abused, oh God, and even these youngsters that are in the school that are standing up, and they're standing up for righteousness. They're no more than 11 and 12 years old, but they know you already, Father. We ask you to protect them. Oh God, little girl hand was broke. They broke her hand because she's standing up for Christ. She's standing up for Jesus Christ. And they said they're both same-sex marriage. She said no. And they're standing up two agendas. She said no. There's talking about four or five agendas, all this stuff they're saying. And then she said no, there's only a man and a woman, that God only make a man and a woman. She said God made Adam and Eve. And they beat her. They bully her till she broke her hand. She was on TV with a hand in a sling from down south. God, we just pray right, and now they're abusing another little boy because they're standing. That's why we got to train up the kids. Train up the kids that, of the knowledge of Christ, oh God, that they wouldn't depart. Father, we just pray right now, God, for covering over our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Cover them, oh God. We just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Father, that you cover our mates, oh God. When they go out, Lord, we ask for traveling mercy, oh God. And Father, we pray for every brother and every sister in Christ in the household of faith right now, that they'll come together, truly come together as brothers and sisters, Lord. They're not just calling themselves brothers and sisters in the Lord, but they'll be brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we'll learn how to forgive, how we'll know how to extend the hand of mercy and grace to each other, as we expect you to extend the hand of mercy and grace to us, oh God. We pray, Father God, for you to help us, oh God, to love on each other unconditionally. And Father, even as we leave this line, but never your presence, we ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We pray that you'll make us ahead and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath. And Father, we ask that the funds that come in through Sister Tina, that should any day keep looking. Oh God, we ask that they be released sooner than soon, God, that we can help many more people, oh God. We can't help all the people, but we'll be able to help many more people and have them at a greater level, Lord, right now. And Father, not this, we don't want to get the funds so we can be braggadocious, but so we can help the widows, the fatherless, the mothers, the homeless, and the orphans. Lord, we pray today, God, as we leave this line, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate, that will make all the difference in their lives. It will stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, or even sodomizing someone or committing some heinous crime. We just pray today, Lord, that you help us to be your eyes and your ears, your hands, your feet, that we be who you said we are. We will be the helper to the shepherd, oh God, because you are the good shepherd. We'll be the helpers to the shepherd, Lord. And Father, as you do that, and strengthen us in areas of our lives that we are weak, make us stronger, Lord God. The places that we are strong, make us even stronger, Lord. And Father, we are content to give you glory, we'll give you honor, we'll give you praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. I'll talk to you later soon. God bless.
Amen.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. In Jesus' name.